Today's shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Tuf Resh Mem Ches Sif Aleph. Now, before we start, we should just appreciate, before we start this Siman, which is a Siman that discusses those things that render an Esrog invalid, that's Dvarim Hapsulim BeEsrog, we should understand and appreciate that there are the following parts to the Esrog. There's the typical shape of the Esrog, which is oblong. It is ordinarily quite narrow at its top. It widens as it slopes downward toward its midpoint, and then narrowing as it slopes downward towards its bottom. Now, unlike most citrus fruits, the outer surface of an esrog is typically full of bumps and ridges. Now, the esrog grows with what's called a pitum, which is a small stick-like protrusion at its top, and it's made up of what's called a dad, which is like a little stick-like thing, with a somewhat wider shoshanta on top. Like, literally, it's called like a style and a stigma in English. But it's the dad and the shoshanta. That shoshanta like resembles like a little floret that's on top of that little stick, you know, that's coming out, protruding on the top of the esrog. Now, in some varieties of the esrog, the pitum falls off early in the growing process so that it is missing from many esrogim that reach the market today. Now, the very bottom of the esrog has a thicker wood-like knob, and that's called the oketz, which is the point of the esrog's attachment to the shrub. Now, because the upper part, which is called the chotem, the nose of the esrog, is its most conspicuous area, that is where it's narrow at its top, okay, going towards the pitum, it's its most conspicuous area, it is treated more chomor, stringently, than the lower part with regard to its various psulim. Now, the definition of the chotem we'll see later in Sif Tes and Sif Yud Beis is a very important ber halacha there in Sif Tes, Dibra Maskal Mimakom, and also in Yud Beis is another Dibra Maskal Mimakom in the ber halacha. Now, the cross section of the esrog, when you slice it, so what you have there is like an outer peel, and that outer peel itself is basically subdivided into a very thin waxy film and a thicker bitter peel. And then you have beneath the peel is a thick white rind of flesh, which resembles like the white layer beneath the peel of all citrus fruits. But in the esrog, it's much, much thicker, the white rind of flesh in there. It constitutes actually the main bulk of the esrog. And at the core of the esrog, there are inner cavities containing the fruit's seeds and some pulp, and these are called the seed cavities. We now begin Sif Aleph Esrog Hayavish. We're talking now once again like the other minim of the Balad minim. So an Esrog Hayavish is possible. Dry Esrog is possible. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah Hayavish. The imhu yavish rak b'miktsaso, and if it's only a little bit dry, if it's part of it, or let's say, we'll see what that means. If part of it is dry, we will see below in Sif Yud Beis and the Mishnah Berurah there. So what's basically said over there, the Shulchan Aruch there in Sif Yud Beis brings down those who say that any dryness at all on the chotem of the esrog, on the upper part of the esrog, again, the exact definition of the chotem, we'll see, will passel it. And the Mishnah Berurah there in Sif Katan Memches adds that according to that opinion, if most of the esrog is dry, or if there are two or three areas of dryness anywhere on the esrog, it is also going to be possible. The Mishnah Berurah there in Sif Katan Mem Zayin, he paskins like that opinion. The Magen Avram and the Be'er Agra, later in Sif Yud Beis, they teach that the dissenting view, which maintains that an esrog is classified as dry only if all of it is dry, is the opinion. Now we're up to Sif Katan Beis. So the esrog is possible if it's dry, and he says the ain't no hadar because it's not hadar, right? That's the pasuk pre eitz hadar. Then who kamush she ain't no lach lo yavish, if it's withered or wilted and it's not moist or dry, like in somewhere in between. Afilu kamush bekulo, even if it's totally wilted and withered, it's still going to be kasher. Da'adayin yishbo miksas lecha. Mikol makom, kevin shanu roin shehu kamush. So he says, but still, since we see that it's wilted, da'asa magen avram, that tzarech lebatko kamosha kasa b'shulchan aruch. In other words, a kamush, if it's not totally dried out, so it which has a little bit of moisture in it, it's kosher. But once you see that it has that look of kamush, so the Magen Avraham says that you have to be baidik it. How are you going to be baidik it? So you baidik it like the Shulchan Aruch said. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, the end of the Shulchan Aruch, once again. So he says, one checks this moisture to see if it's moisture by passing a needle through it with a thread attached to the needle. And if the esrog has moisture, it will be visible on the thread. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura. Yeroeh ba'chut hikshu ha'achronim. The achronim ask. They ask the following question. In Kenya nekav mefulash, if so, there will be what's called a hole all the way through the esrog, which, as we're going to see coming up in the next sif, is pasul l'deya rishona shiv b'sif beis. It's going to be pasul according to the first opinion in sif beis, even right, afil below chisaron, even with nothing missing from the esrog. What we're going to see in the next sif is that if you have a hole that goes through the esrog, even if nothing is missing from the esrog, if it goes through the esrog, through the totality of the esrog, it's going to be pasul. So how do you go ahead and test it? So Teretz HaMagen Avram, Shetochev HaMachak Tzas, B'makov Ovishalo, HaMagen Avram basically answers that one inserts a little bit of the thick area of the needle. What that means is, Tahainu B'makov Chor HaNekev, that means the area of the eye of the needle. That's like the top part of the needle. And you put that through, and by doing that, some of the thread will enter into the esrog, into the thickness, into the thick area, sorry, into the esrog, from the thick area of the needle. And when you pull it out, you'll see it on the thread. And there will be no through hole, meaning that the issue here is, right, how do you pass the needle through the esrog in order to check it? So even if nothing is missing from the esrog, it's going to be pasul according to that first view, which maintains that an esrog with a hole that goes through it is pasul even if there's nothing missing from the esrog. Now, the truth is, according to the second view there, an esrog with a hole is only pasul when there's something, a hole through the whole thing is only pasul if something is missing. But that's not the first opinion there. The first opinion there is, anytime a hole goes through the whole esrog, it's going to be pasul. So what do you do? So what he's basically saying is that even according to the first view, the esrog is going to be kosher as long as nothing is missing from the esrog if it doesn't go all the way through. So that's what you do. You put it in, and then you pull it out. You don't go all the way through, and you do it from the eye of the needle with the thread. And when you pull it out, that's how you'll know. If the thread is moist, you'll know that it's still moist, and if not, v'yesh shetirtzu. And there are those, however, that basically say as follows: Yesh tishu demefulash lo nikra el kishenekav barochav haesrog me'aver la'aver afilu shelo keneged chadrei hazera. Now others say that the hole, when it passes, according to that first opinion, the next sif is only when that hole that goes through the whole esrog is where the width of the esrog is punctured through and through. It has to be the width of the esrog, not the you will see, not the length of the esrog, not below. About, he says, so what he's saying is as follows. He's saying that this hole that goes through is only where the width of the esrog is punctured through and through, even if not opposite the seed cavities. But when it is punctured through its thickness only on one side, namely the length of the esrog from top to bottom, like let's say from its oketz toward its upper part, and does not reach the seed cavities, you don't go into the seed cavities, then we can maintain that all agree that it is not called a through hole. In other words, what he's saying is as follows. We have the first opinion, which we're going to see in Sif Beis momentarily, that holds that if you that if you have a through hole, a hole that goes all the way through the esrog, it's only going to pasul, even according to that opinion, it says it pasuls if there's nothing comes out, if there's no piece of chunk comes out of the esrog, even if it's just a hole that doesn't remove any piece of the esrog, it's going to be pasul. But that's only if it goes through the width of the esrog. Now, by the width of the esrog, it doesn't necessarily have to go through the inner cavity that has the seeds and the pulp in it. It could, even if it's below the seed cavity, if it goes through the thickness, it's going to be through and through from one side to the other side, it's going to be pasul. But he says you would be able to test it by going ahead and putting it through the length of the esrog. Even according to the opinion, it says a hole through and through is going to pasul without any of the esrog, you know, being coming out of it. It's not going to pasul if it goes through the length, as long as it doesn't penetrate the inner seed cavity. Again, there's the white part of the esrog inside that it has to go through. It can't go through the seed cavity. Now the Shaar HaTzion also quotes a Prima Gadim, that let's say you have like a protrusion on the esrog that protrudes out like of the esrog, and then the needle goes through the thickness of that protrusion. So he suggests that that's not considered a through hole, even if it goes through the thickness of it, because it is a protrusion and it's that is pierced, and it's not the totality of the esrog in terms of its width. So to sum up, what we're seeing here is that you could test the esrog to see it's moist by not penetrating through and through, by just, let's say, putting the needle hole with some thread into part of the esrog without going through and through. Again, should not be penetrating the middle area that has the seeds. And you could also, according to some, you can go ahead and go even through and through from one side to the other if you're doing it lengthwise as opposed to widthwise. But widthwise won't be good even if it is below the seed cavity, if it's going from one side to the other, unless it's just going through a protrusion, like a bump coming out of the esrog itself. We now continue weiter in the Ramah. The Ramah says, "Esrog shehu mishana she'avra vada yaveh shehu pasul." Because an esrog from the previous year is for sure dry, for sure considered halachically dry, and will be viewed as halachically dry, and will be viewed as pasul. Look at the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Dalad, vada yaveh shehu, rotza lomar, this means to say, the e'efshar sheyimtza bo lecha, lo yetze to'eles al yedei bedikaso. He's saying it's definitely dry, meaning there's no way that it will contain any moisture, and there's no use at all in checking it. Now, this is the opinion of Sever Lachronim, and it's indicated by the Be'er Hagra. Unlike the Taz, who maintains that an esrog from the previous year might still be valid, and if one wishes to use it, it must be checked. However, the Bikurei Yaakov quotes the Tamim Deim, noting that he seems to agree with the Taz. The Tamim Deim quotes the Gemara, which states that skins and seeds of grapes are presumed to be moist for 12 months, and then comments that the implication is that if nothing is done to preserve the moisture of the fruits, they will be dry after the passing of a year. If, however, an effort is made to preserve their moisture, they can remain moist for a far longer time. And Bikurei Yaakov adds that he himself saw an esrog that had been preserved by being stored in a sealed metal container in a damp, cool place, and it remained moist even after a year had passed. So the Bikurei Yaakov therefore concludes that an esrog that was preserved in this manner is valid if it is checked and found to be moist, provided it is not all shriveled up, and thus it will be deprived of its hadar quality, regardless if it's all shriveled up, obviously. Shaar HaTzion basically quotes all of the opinions and basically adds that the Be'er Hagra might actually agree with it. He meant only that without preserving the esrog, it is presumed to be dry after 12 months. Anyway, a very important nekuda is that which Moshe Feinstein brings up when he brings up the issue of if you keep an esrog in a freezer. So in Igros Moshe or a Chaim, he notes that many frozen fruits and vegetables tend to go rotten within a short time of being defrosted. And an esrog might also have that character. And according to some poskim, this would basically possibly the esrog even before it shows external signs of rotting. So one should therefore avoid using an esrog that had been frozen. Finally, Sif Katan Hey Upasal, he says, Ayin b'Shaar HaTzion, Masha Hevenu b'Shem Tamim Deim. He says, check out the Shaar HaTzion, what we brought down in the name of the Tamim Deim. We basically mentioned all of that just now in this whole a discussion of the Be'er HaGra and the Taz. And that's the basic story. Okay, so just to sum up what we saw in the Sharet Zion, he basically says that, you know, unless you do something to actually preserve the moistness, pashtus, there's no point in checking the esrog. If you do something to preserve his moistness, don't put it in the freezer, because Ramesha hold that would be a problem once you defrost it. But if somehow you keep it, let's say, sealed or whatever like that, and there is some moisture, so then it's possible that it's still moist. Obviously, this is not the ideal esrog, but if you have nothing else, and then you check it, and then you see that it is has some moistness to it, it could even be that the Be'er HaGra, who seems to apostle automatically when it's 12 months, he might even agree there, and that's what the Sharet Zion goes ahead and points out. We now move on to Sif Beis. Esrog she'nikev nekev mefulash, an esrog that is punctured with a through hole of any size is puzzle, right? Any size, if it goes through the esrog, it's going to be puzzle. This is what we mentioned before in Sif Katan Gimel when we were discussing putting the needle through to check for moistness. And he goes on the Shulchan Aruch and he says, but if it's not a through hole, meaning it doesn't go through the whole esrog, then if it is an iser size, if the hole is the size of an iser, then the esrog is pasul. It's going to be pasul. Chaser kolshu pasul. But if it's missing something, meaning if some of the esrog came out with this hole, even if it's less than an iser, then it's going to be pasul, even if there is no hole that goes all the way through. So this is the first opinion that we talked about, that we quoted before, and this is the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Beis. And let's look at the Mishnah Brura, Kol Shehu Pasul. So again, if there's a hole that goes all the way through, Afilu Eino Chaser Min HaEsrog Klal, even if nothing is going through the esrog at all, Kigon Shenikev Al Yedei Machat, meaning it has a hole with a needle through it, nothing came out of the esrog, it's still going to be Pasul if it goes all the way through. Again, we saw in the previous Sif and Sif Katan Gimel, that there are those that say it's only if it's going through the width of the esrog, not the length of the esrog. If it goes through the length of the esrog, but not through the cavity with the seeds, it, according to some, would be okay. However, even if it does not go through the cavity, but it goes through the width of it, let's say below or above the cavity that has the seeds, it's still going to be pasul according to his opinion because it went through and through the whole esrog. However, he says, im hayaki isar, if it doesn't go all the way through, then it only pasuls if it was the size of an isar, afilu ein bo chisaron, even if there's nothing missing from the esrog, kigon shetachav bo yaseid rachav. For example, let's say you pressed a wide peg into it, and nothing came out of the esrog; it just got squished in. If it's the size of an isar, it's going to be pasul. Bin anekev meruba o aruch roin e kad magelet la havi ki isar pasul. And he says, if the hole is square or long, we check if when you shape it into a circle, it is an iser size, then the esrog is going to be pasul. Now the iser is a circular coin that was prevalent in the Mishnaic times, and while its size is unknown to us, we do know that its area is larger than that of the width of a goose's trachea. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, Lamed Dalet Beis. Now, based on archaeological findings, some later works place the diameter of an iser at 23 millimeters, so its area is about 4.1 square centimeters. Other works present its diameter at 19 millimeters, so that is the size the diameter of the iser. Now, again, we just saw that if it's a square or long hole, so then we check, and when you shape it into a circle, will it be an iser? So meaning it is not, if it's not circular, so you can't easily measure it against an iser. So what you basically do is, when you shape it into a circle, if it's an iser size, then it will be pasul. Meaning that the total area of the indentation has to be equal to that of an iser, and if it's that, it will be pasul. Now this is all assuming that there's nothing missing, nothing came out of the esrog. It's either a very tiny, tiny hole, like with a needle, which is only going to be possible if it goes through the width of the esrog. And if it doesn't go through, then it will only possible if it has the size of an iser. But what happens if it doesn't go through and through, and it's not the size of an iser, but it's missing, some of it came out. So, chaser kol shehu, the Shulchan Aruch said pasul. So look at Mishnah Brura Sif Katan Ches. Im chaser kol shehu. If it is missing something, then if it has a hole of any size, it's going to be pasul. Rotolomar, im chaser. This means to say that if the esrog is missing something, Even if the hole is extremely small, meaning who kol shehu, meaning any size at all, gam kein pasul, it's going to be pasul. The Maimer Mordechai shehiskim. He said, check out the Maimer Mordechai, who basically maintains the inyan Yom Tov Sheni with respect to Yom Tov Sheni shapir bami levarech alav. He would be able to go ahead and make a bracha kol sheino mafulosh veino chaser bekiisa. He says it will be acceptable to make a bracha over an esrog with a hole as long as it is not a through hole and it is not missing an iser size. The reason why this is so, we'll see in a second, because even though this is going to be possible according to this first view, it will be okay according to the second view. And if it were invalid according to everyone, it would be taken on the second day of Yom Tov without a bracha, as with all the psulim that are in effect only on the first day of Yom Tov. But since the second view maintains that it is okay, so we are totally lenient on the second day of Yom Tov and permit taking it with a bracha. The same logic would seem to apply to the other scenarios that are dependent on the two views brought down the Shulchan Aruch here, for example, where nothing is missing from the esrog and there is either a through hole or an iser size indentation. We'll see coming up. Again, the Maimon Mordechai here is bringing a case, and he's saying that even though an esrog has a hole, if it is not a through hole and it's not missing the iser size, it's not a hole that's the size of an iser, you would be able to make a bracha on the second day. Now, the reason why we're saying this is because, as we just said, the second opinion is going to allow it. So let's see the second opinion right now in the Shulchan Aruch, so you understand a little more why the Maimon Mordechai said on the second day you can make a bracha over an esrog with a hole as long as it is not a through hole and is not missing an iser size. Let's see. Yesh omrim, tegam b'nekev b'fulash ba'inan chisaron mashu. There are those that hold that even when the nekev goes all the way through, it's only going to be puzzle when it's missing something. If it's missing something from it. And if it's not missing something from it, even if the hole goes all the way through, it's going to be okay. And he says, "V'she'eino mafulash b'chisaron ki'iser." And when it doesn't go all the way through, then it's only going to be puzzle when there is a it's missing the size of an iser. Isar. What is this opinion? Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah here. Sifkatan tes v'yesh omrim svir lehu detarti l'rayus beinon. This opinion maintains that we require two unfavorable factors to invalidate the esrog. And what are these two reyusas? Mefulash v'chisaron. That is, this opinion holds that you need to have both a through hole and something missing. That is as follows: the below chisara kasher b'chol gavni. When there is nothing missing, it is going to be kasher in all circumstances. Elabish v'yesh chisaron. But when there is something missing, im hu mefulash pasul afilu b'chisaron kol shehu. When there's something missing, though, there's a distinction. There's something missing. Here's a distinction. If it is a through hole, goes all the way through, then it's puzzle with even the smallest amount missing. And if it is, right, and if it is not a hole that goes all the way through, then it's going to be puzzle. Dafka kesha chasar b'ki'iser. It's going to be puzzle only when it's missing an iser size. And he says, "V'kaimilon lahachmir zulas v'shas hadchak," and we are machmir like the first opinion, except for a shas hadchak situation. K'moshe kasav Rama hachakach, like the Rama is going to say momentarily right afterwards. Now comes the Rama, and the Rama says, "Haga v'noagu lahachshir hanakovim shenasu bi'ilon al yedei kotzim." He then says that the minag seems to be that an esrog is they view an esrog as kosher where the holes were made by thorns while it was still on the tree, even if they have some of the original flesh missing, because they occur during the course of the development of the esrog. So what he says here, this Rama, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif. Katan Yud Afabi Shigesh Bahem Chisaron. She's saying Rotsa Lomar. This means to say, Shenira Lefamim be Esrog, Shahayabo Nekev Baodo Bimakhubar, Elashinikram Olav, or ubasar mimala, v'zeh yesh lahatir. He means to say as follows. It is sometimes apparent on an esrog that it had a hole while it was still attached to the tree, but then skin and flesh formed over it. In that case, he says, we can permit the esrog. In such a case, v'zeh yesh lahatir. Aval im anuroim shalom nikram, ela yesh sham nekev v'chisaram. However, if we see that nothing has formed, but rather there is a hole and something is missing there, then afalpi shenase al yedei kotim v'derech kedei laso, puzzle, right? If we see that nothing has formed, but rather there is a hole and something is missing there, then even though this was done by thorns in the course of its development, it is going to be viewed as puzzle. The fact that the hole was caused while the esrog was growing on the tree is not a reason to be makel, since the esrog was damaged by the tree and did not complete the typical healing process. In other words, when is it going to be okay? Well, even though it's okay when the skin of the esrog is left with an indented sear, but the idea is it's as if that indentation had been part of the esrog from the start. So the esrog is okay, since the process of being pierced by thorns on the tree, redeveloping flesh and skin, namely a peel, and then being left with an indentation, as long as that occurs during the development process of the esrog, it's going to be okay. V'zehu, and now he says, v'zehu shesiyem miyu im roe. Let's put a finger in the middle of this Mishnah Berurah. What does he mean by, and this is what the Ramah finishes when he says miyu. Let's look at the Ramah. Miyu imroeh she'ein ha'or. Back to the Ramah. If you imroeh she'ein ha'or va'basar kayim tocha nekev, pasal l'sfeira harishona af alpi she'eino mefulash. He says, however, if one sees that the skin and the flesh are not present inside the hole, then the esrog is pasal, according to, again, the first opinion, even if it is not a through hole. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. That's what he means. Zehu shesiyu miyu imroeh. And back to the Mishnah Berurah in the middle there, Sipat Nyud, says, "Va'hamon am toin b'kach shesovim sheyesh kula keshenase hanekev al yedei kotzim." Says many people are mistaken; they think if there's a hole based on the thorns of the tree, it's going to be okay. No, it's only if it heals in the process itself. It has to be that it's even when it gets damaged, it has to complete the typical healing process on the tree. And if not, then if there is somewhat of a hole, okay, where we see that some of the skin and the flesh is no longer there, and it got, you know, came out, then obviously, even if there's no through hole, it's going to be puzzle, according to that first opinion in the filter. Finally, here we come with the key line that we've like already sort of mentioned once already, but now here comes the Raman. He says, v'shasat chak, yesh lahakel. He says, and although we follow the Svar Rishona, we could be makel in a shasat chak like the Svar Achrona, lahachshir, to allow and make a esrog kosher in accordance with the second opinion, to deem the esrog kosher when chisaron she'ein okiser ve'eino nekev mefulash. If we can deem the esrog as kosher, if its missing part is not an iser size and it is not a through hole. And this is the Ramah, right? He says, Divrei Atzmo, this is the Ramah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is Sipkat and Yud Aleph. So, if you remember, the Ramah had said that if you see that the or in the basar has not gone ahead and healed, so that hole we're going to view as basal, according to the Svara Rishona. So, look at the Mishnah Berurah on this Yud Aleph. So, he says, V'imyesh safek b'zeh im ha-basar kayim. Now, he says, if there's a safek, whether the flesh is present, so he says, we can be makel. Since the second opinion, Svirle, second opinion holds, afilu bevadai yesh chisaron kasher. Since the second opinion of the Shulchan Aruch holds that even if there is definitely something missing, it is going to be kasher as long as it's not a through hole and it is not missing an iser size, right? Afilu bevadai yesh chisaron kasher, kol she'eino mefulash ve'eino chisaron b'ki'isar. So therefore, shaper nismoch alzeh b'safek l'chol ha'pachos. So he says, so we could for sure rely on this, at least when in doubt, meaning the kula in this case applies even in a non-Shas Hadchak. Again, we said that in a Shas Hadchak, he can rely on the second opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. But in this case, since there's a Safek, whether or not it's been healed, so then we have a Sveik Sveika Lekula, and you could be Mekil. The double doubt here is as follows. Perhaps there's nothing missing from the Yesrog, so it is valid even according to the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch here. And two, even if there's something missing from the Yesrog, perhaps the Halacha follows the second view in the Shulchan Aruch here, so that the Yesrog is valid even so, since it is neither a through hole that goes all the way through, nor an Isser size. So finishing up this Mishnah Berurah, and he says, "Bafilu in Safek lo Shema Higia Folush Kanekev Ad Chadrei Hazera Gam Kain Yesh Lahashir Shekol Sheino Baru Lanu Shegia Ad Chadrei Hazera." Yesh l'smoch al dibrei ha'omrim, sh'afilu im higia l'chadrei ha'zera, eino nikra nekev mefulash, ve'eino posel ella im kein yesh bo chisaron. He then says, even if he thinks it possible that the hole has penetrated all the way to the seed cavity, which we're going to see in the next sif, some view that as considered a nekev mefulash, a total through hole, he says we could also view it as kosher. For as long as it is not clear to us that it has reached the seed cavity, we can rely on those who say that even if it did reach the seed cavity, it is not considered a through hole, like, okay, these first opinions that we've been saying up until now, we haven't seen Sif Gimel yet, and thus it does not render the Esrog invalid unless it is missing something. See, what he's pointing out is that in this scenario, there's an added problem. If the hole indeed reached the seed cavity, then it is considered a through hole according to the view we're going to see coming up in the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Gimel, and this makes matters somewhat worse according to both views in the Shulchan Aruch here. According to the first view, if something is missing from the Esrog, it is Pasul. And even if nothing is missing from the Esrog, so if the hole both reached the seed cavity and is therefore to be considered a through hole, then the Esrog is not going to be kosher. And according to the second view, it's no longer certain that the Esrog is valid, because if there's something missing from the Esrog and the hole reached the seed cavity and that is considered a through hole, and the Esrog is invalid even according to that view. So he says, and even so, even according to the first view of the Shulchan Aruch here, if the hole is not considered a through hole, it will not render the Esrog pasul unless something is missing from the Esrog. So to basically clarify the halachic calculus here, despite all that was mentioned in the previous, previously, there are still sufficient grounds, he's saying, to be Mekel. Because it's still quite possible that the Esrog is valid according to the first view, and highly probable that it is valid according to the second view. And the Mishnah Berurah clearly indicates, though, that if it were clear that the hole reached the seed cavities, then we would have to be Machmir. At that point, the Esrog is most probably invalid according to the first view here. And in order to be kosher, we'd have to hold that the Esrog is not missing anything, and too, that the halacha is that this is not considered a through hole, and quite possible it will be puzzle according to the second view here, because if it's missing something and the hole is going to be considered a through hole. So since the basic halacha follows the first view, other than in a pressing circumstance, then we'll not be able to be makel outright in the scenario when the hole actually reaches the seed cavity. And that's what's being referred to here is Sif Gimel. So let's just look at, before we get to Sif Gimel, Sif Katan Yud Beis, Kisvara Hachrona Lahachshir, Ulevarech Alav, you can rely on the second opinion and make a bracha in a Shas Hadchak situation. Okay, finally, Sif Gimel, Mefulash, Yesh Mefarashim Kipshuta. So Mefulash means a through hole, going through the whole Esrog. So we've been explaining it up until now, up until those last couple of minutes when we just referred to the Sif, as it going through and through the Esrog. However, he says, "V'yesh mefarshin shekeman shenikav al ad chadrei hazera shagarinim b'solcho mikri mefulash." There are others that say, as we just said a couple of minutes ago, that once it is punctured through to the seed cavities, which house the seeds and the pulp and all that stuff, it is called a through hole. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yigimel, Shenikav Misadze Letzadze, Shalze Mora Shem Shem Mefulash, Kamo Mavui HaMefulash. According to this opinion, the way we've always been explaining it up until now, is Mefulash is like a Mavui Mefulash, where it goes through the alleyway and it's open on both sides and it goes through and through. Sif Katan Yud Dalet, but the other opinion holds no, Ad Chadrei HaZera. Taimam. So what does this opinion hold? Shaklipa Ava Hamakefes is Hadre Hazera, Ena Nasheves im Hadre Hazera Ledover Echad, Eli Nasheva Ledover Bethneatmo Linze. Their rationale is that the thick rind that surrounds the seed cavities is not considered to be the same entity as the cavity of the seeds, but is considered a separate entity in this regard. The Kevan Shenikva Kula Mitzad Echad Hareze Nekev Fulash. Since it is punctured through and through on one side, it is a through hole. Alkane, Af Alpi, Shechadre Hazera, Vitzad Hasheni Shel Esrog, Nisharu Shleimim, Hareze Pasul. And therefore, even though the seed cavities and the other side of the Esrog remain intact, it is going to be invalid. So again, the rationale here is that the thick rind that surrounds the seed cavities is not considered to be the same entity as the cavity of the seeds, but is considered a separate entity in this regard. Since it is punctured through and through on one side, it is therefore going to be viewed as a through hole. And therefore, even though the seed cavities and the other side of the esrog remain intact, it is going to be invalid. It's going to be pasul. And therefore, he says, regarding the practical halacha, as we said before, you should be machmir in accordance with the latter opinion, is what we saw in Sivkot Yud Aleph already. However, in a compelling circumstances, Aval b'shasat chak, she'yev shalom so esrog acher, in compelling circumstances where one cannot find another esrog, one can rely on the first opinion. Yesh l'smoch al svarah harishona, u'mutar levarech al esrog zeh, and you can make a bracha on it. U'beprat hechi she'ene chaser klum, specifically where you know that it's not missing anything from the esrog, such as kigon shenikev al yedei macha, where it's punctured just with a needle, the yesh b'zeh sveik sveika, because then there will be a sveik sveika, shema halacha ka yesh omrim, hanisker b'sif beis, the gamma mefulash, dafka kishe yesh chasarom. Meaning perhaps, sveik sveika is, perhaps the halacha is in keeping with the yesh omrim mentioned in sif beis. Okay, and which maintains that even with a through hole, the esrog is what? Is puzzle only if there is something missing. And there you'll therefore have the sveik sveika. Sif katan tesvav mefulash, v'nikva haklipa ha'ava mitzadzeh letzadzeh shelo keneged chadrei hazera, d'hainu v'makom sha'esrog miskata lamata, zem mikri mefulash bein ledeya rishono bein ledeya shnia. This is what we mentioned earlier. If the thick peel is punctured from one side to the other, but not opposite the seed cavities, that is, it is punctured in the place where the esrog narrows on the bottom, it's considered a through hole according to both the first opinion and the second opinion. Meaning, even according to the second opinion, if it doesn't hit the seed cavities, but it goes all the way through, then obviously that, according to the second opinion, which is more machmir, it's going to for sure be a problem when it goes through and through the esrog, even if it's below the seed cavity. He just holds that if it goes and hits the seed cavity, the second opinion, that's considered already a through hole.